Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read from verse 22 down to the end of the chapter, verse 27. Revelation chapter 21, beginning to read with verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you today that we can come. It's such a wonderful opportunity to come together and to be together, and as the building is nothing. It's the people, it's the folks that you have gathered together that we call the church. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come and to proclaim your precious word, to visit and fellowship together. I thank you for the Sunday school classes and the opportunity to visit and fellowship over your word. Keep us in your truth, dear Lord, please, and help us to be there often, that we go to your word and go for your strength and go for your power, because you are everything. You're all truth, all wisdom, and without your presence and power, we have nothing. And so please continue to guide and lead us and strengthen us, dear Lord. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I did want to, I told the folks Wednesday night that I guess physically I'm going to have to resign from the church, because every time I preach the gospel or speak anything of the gospel, my blood pressure goes up. I had an opportunity this 2 weeks ago or a week ago when I was at Mayo's, for the first time, I found one of the nurses was a believer. And I always go through that we have the church and things about the church and everything. Well, up there, they take the blood pressure, and the blood pressure is taken one time per minute for 5 minutes. It's a machine that does it automatically. They're supposed to leave the room and let you sit there quietly and take your blood pressure. Well, we get to visiting about the church and about the Lord Jesus, and every time that I would speak the gospel, my blood pressure went up 10 points. And so finally, after resetting the machine twice, she left the room, came back in at the end, still had one more time. She thought I was done, came one more time, and she said, "Oh," she said, "I'm so excited to see a believer." And I said, "Yes." I said, "It's wonderful to find believers." And 10 points, it went up. It was every time my blood pressure, I said, "Do you have any idea what my blood pressure is when I preach? If just by talking about the gospel, it goes up 10 points. And so I wanted you to, you know, if I die right here in this spot, you need to understand what happened. My blood pressure just went up too much. And so what a joy, and it should excite us when we speak of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Revelation chapter 21, we have a look at New Jerusalem and the city and somewhat of the surrounding areas and what's going on during that time. And so please that you look back to the 15th verse. We've in a little bit of review why we have a reed. That reed's approximately 10 foot long. It's going to measure the city and the gates and the wall. And then we come to the verse 16, and we find that with the 16th verse that it is the city is square. It's 12,000 furlongs in size, and it's equal in its width and its breadth and its height. And in doing the math, why you find that it's approximately 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles square is the size of the city of New Jerusalem. And to give you just a little hint, that's where we will dwell, the church in New Jerusalem. And so be excited about it. See this city. We have the measurement of the width of the walls is 216 feet thick. We have the 12 foundations that you see in verse 19 and verse 20. And then in verse 21, we find that we have three gates on each side, each being monstrous pearls. White, beautiful pearls are the gates, gates that will never be closed. But there are three gates on each side. And so we also find in that 21st verse that the streets will be of pure gold. And being of pure gold, we find that it is so pure that they are transparent, that you can see through them. What a place. What a wonderful place to be. The next thing that we find here as we look at the 22nd verse is that there is no temple therein. We come to this building, and we know that it is just a building. We are the temple of God. But at this time, the temple will not exist. There will not be a building in any way, shape, or form. This will show us that things are beginning to change within the city, not to have a temple, and yet that will give us perfect and complete access to our God. There will never be a time that we will have to go to a priest as the Jews would do, or that we go to a mediator today being our Lord Jesus Christ, but we need a mediator to get to God the Father. At this time, we will no longer need the mediator. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, and God Almighty will both be present with us in the holy city of New Jerusalem. We find that, again, no need for the priest, no need for the mediator, no need for a building, a tabernacle. God will abide in this city with the streets of gold and these pearly white gates. We continue to build and improve, and whether it's business, our homes, but this is the home that's important. This is the home that we need to be storing up treasures in, and that is in New Jerusalem. Again, there will be no need for the temple or a meeting place, for God will be everywhere as he dwells with all people. What a glorious day it will be. Everyone will live next door to Jesus. Think about that. We talked about in Sunday school that would you like to have lived during the time when Jesus walked upon the earth? You could see him and talk to him. He's going to be right there. Everybody is going to be next door neighbors to Jesus. Everyone as well will live next door to God Almighty, God the Father. God the Son, God the Father. Be there, dwelling in the city. God and the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, will make themselves known to all at every hour and every minute of the day. There'll be no house of worship because we will be with our Lord and our God. They will be the temple. We will worship anytime, we will worship all times, we will worship everywhere under any and all circumstances. So there'll be no temple. The next that we need to look at in this same verse of Scripture, verse 23, the city hath no need, verse 22, and saw no temple therein, the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, and the Lamb are the temple of it. In verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So not only will there not be a temple, but there'll also not be the sun, the moon, nor the stars, because the light will be our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. There's going to be no morning. There's going to be no noon. There's going to be no night. None. Light all the time. One long, eternal day. one long eternal day. It will not only be an eternal day of light, it's going to be an eternal day of glory, it's going to be an eternal day of peace. Long, beautiful, wonderful day. No darkness. Jesus and God Almighty will be the light, not only in the city, but as the Scripture calls it, in all things that are made new. In all things that are made new. The reason that the Scripture refers to "in all things remain new" is because there's a pit, the lake of fire, where all those that refuse Jesus will be found. There will be no light there. No light. The Shekinah glory cloud will lighten every square inch of what God makes new. This will happen after Satan is loosed for a short season, and then judgment is finished, is completed, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. All those that have refused the gospel of the Lord Jesus will be there and spend eternity there. We find not only in no need for sun nor for the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. But we also have in the 24th verse, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, it kind of joins in with the rest in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Nations of them which are saved. Who are they? The nations of them that are saved. There will be literally billions. We can't imagine. The environmentalists are so concerned that we are destroying this earth, and we do need to be good stewards of this earth. But we don't have to worry about global cooling or global warming, because neither is going to affect us. Man must think that they're of some great power if they think that we can have some effect upon this world and upon this land of ours, with living in such a small area and yet still creating the whole atmosphere to warm or to cool. But you see, they have to deny that there's a God in their science and in their means and in their ways. And so they ignore that there is a God and a God in control. But there will be billions of people born during the thousand-year millennium. Billions. Those that were born again, saved during the tribulation period, will walk into the millennial reign of Christ, and they alone will repopulate the earth. But things will be so, and people will have many, many children, and they'll be of childbearing years as it was before Noah. And so there will literally be billions of people born upon this earth. We know this number because God tells us in His words that the number of the sand on the seashore will number those that follow after Gog and Magog, follow after Satan when he is loosed for a short time at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Now, if there's that many follows after Satan, we know that multitudes, millions, will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and not follow Satan. We can't imagine the number that will be born during that time. But the millions that will not follow after Satan, not be fooled by him, that's some of the nations that this is talking about. those that chose during the millennial reign of Christ to follow after the Lord Jesus. They will be nations that will be, they will be on the new earth bringing tribute unto our God, coming to New Jerusalem. Along with that, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light thereof. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and the honor unto it, the scripture tells us. There will be multitudes that follow after the devil as they do today. But there will also be great multitudes that follow after the Lord Jesus. Kings and great men will follow after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. There also will be another group, those during the tribulation period, that followed after, that was friendly with Israel. There are a few nations that will be friends of Israel even through the tribulation period. And those nations will have their place here. They too will have the opportunity and honor to bring in to our God tribute, to come and to honor and glorify Him from the outside, so to speak. In the new earth, the new heaven is going to be there, but the new earth, they're going to live and reign there. Now, another group that's going to be there will also be the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, you think the 12 tribes of Israel, God is, it's His chosen, that they would be next to Him, but they are not. We are next to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, the bride of the Lamb, will be the residence inside the city, inside this 1,500-mile square city is where we will live and rule and reign with our Lord. The center of government will be in the city of New Jerusalem, and we'll be a part of that government. That's the role. When I say that we at this time live in the best time that you can ever live, other than being in the presence of the Lord and during the time that we're talking about here, now, during the time when sin still has its strength and power upon the world, God has chosen for us to live in the greatest time. We are not under the law. We have the Word of God. We have a freedom to worship and to praise our God. We live in the day of grace. We live in the day of whosoever will. What a glorious and wonderful day to live. And because God has chosen us, the church, as His bride, He will take us and bring us into His presence, and we will rule and reign in Jerusalem. We will be in Jerusalem. We will be on those streets of gold. We will enjoy this time. So please, please understand that. The new earth will be occupied by Israel and the saved nations. The city will be the home of the New Testament church, the bride of Christ. The third heaven will remain as the same, God's dwelling place, God's home. Do not try to attempt to limit God to this new earth or this new city or the new heavens, because God is still everywhere, always, all-knowing. He is eternal. Saved nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. They will come acknowledging the authority of our God, and what a joy it will be to watch them come, not by force, but by a love and desire to serve and to show honor and praise unto God. They will abide in the new earth. We as a church will abide in New Jerusalem. Today, the true church is the salt of the earth and the light of the earth. We discussed this just a little bit in Sunday school this morning. The church is the one that dispenses blessings. I don't think we realize that. I don't think we realize that we have been chosen by God to bring blessings and literal prosperity to this earth. We have been chosen to do that. And we do that by bringing the gospel to the lost. As folks are saved and see the truth and have the power and the strength, the church is the dwelling place of God and in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within our heart. And so we are the salt of the earth. And it was recently said the salt is used as a preservative. It keeps it from rotting. And so the more that the church is present, the more power the church goes out into this world with, the more it keeps it from being corrupt, spoiled, and rotten. If you ever had some food that you put in the refrigerator and had been in there a little too long, and you decided that, I'll check and see whether it's any good, and you open it up, and it's not, it's spoiled, it's rotten. We have been chosen by God to stop the spoiling, to stop this rotting. Do we realize what our responsibility is? When we have an opportunity to live in New Jerusalem and be at the center of the government of our Lord Jesus Christ through eternity, what a wonderful gift that is. What a wonderful opportunity. But how about today? That we have the power to stop the rotting. Why is this world so evil today? It's evil today because the church has not done their job. The church has not been out taking the gospel, and so it becomes more and more corrupt. When the church is strong, the people in the area are blessed. Do you realize that the people you're around are blessed by you? They don't acknowledge that, do they? They don't believe they are. They think they're cursed because of your presence. They don't realize that they are blessed by your presence because you are a believer in the true God. So know that. Don't forget that. It grows for the good. The area will grow because of the light. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily material blessings, that because of our presence, the whole world will become rich and wealthy. But the world will gain peace and joy and be strong and be wonderful to be around. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Would you like to know somebody like that? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Well, that's who we're supposed to be. If that's who we are, the world's going to see that light. They may reject the light. They're getting the blessings of it, but not all reject. It's just like during the end of the millennial reign of Christ when Satan's loose. Not all will follow after Satan. Multitudes will follow after the King of Kings and stay true to him. And same with yourself. You speak to people about the Lord Jesus. You give a witness. You give a testimony. You shine the light, and people will see that and come to know the Lord Jesus and be saved. There was an old movie many, many years ago. It was a comedy. Support Your Local Sheriff. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It was an old comedy. This sheriff comes into town. And this man comes into town. There's no sheriff. The last sheriff lasted a day. He ran off. The sheriff before that was killed. Rough, rough town. Here comes this man in, and he comes and decides he needs a job. What's it pay? This is what it pays. He accepted that amount of pay for it. And he goes about to arrest those that are evil and wicked in the town. And in doing so, why, the mayor said, you know, go slow now. Because if you get rid of all this, then the churches will come. And when the churches come, why, then there'll be no drinking or killing or anything. And the mayor was kind of upset with that. He thought that might not be an improvement. He preferred the old wild, wild west, as you see it portrayed. Well, Hollywood had it wrong. Because law and order doesn't come to a town. The church comes, and then law and order comes. Well, Hollywood still got it wrong. Hollywood still, the only thing they portray today is the demons and evil. They've gotten worse because, you see, they had it wrong in the first place. Goodness and power and strength and blessings and peace comes from the church. Not like this old mayor said, boy, fun's going to be gone. Churches will come. Well, that's the way Hollywood looked at it. And that's the way the world looks at it. If you become part of the church, the fun's gone. No, it's not. The power and the joy and the strength. Today, all you have to notice is in foreign lands that we have the absence of the church. You have the slaughter of children. You have the offering of human sacrifices. All these things continue to go on in many foreign lands because of the absence of the church. I would like to say in this country that we don't have that, but we do. Millions and millions of babies have been slaughtered. How has that happened in such a country that is supposed to be Christian and supposed to be free? There's one answer. It's the absence of the church. The absence of the church. We have become a very ungodly nation. How? Because we have not spoken. The absence of the church. The church possesses the message and carries the light to bring happiness, peace, and success and joy to all that will accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We have that message. What a message. Is there anything that this world would want? Happiness, peace, success, joy. What else is there? Do you know anybody that's looking for more than that? They're looking for it in the world and can't find it. But you ask them and they will tell you. If they'd be truthful themselves, all I'm looking for is some joy. All I'm looking for is peace. All I'm looking for is happiness. That's all I'm looking for. But they look at all the wrong places. Are we showing them to the right place? Verse 26, it says, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations unto it. Today, we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. At this time, we are going to be again the center of the government. We are going to be the center with the Lord Jesus. That will be his headquarters. and what a joy it's going to be in serving and praising God. All rule and government over all things made new. Jesus will live in the new city, New Jerusalem, with the church. He will be moving in and moving out as he pleases. But the center of his government will be there. We look at this last verse of this scripture. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abominations, maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Scripture tells us the books were opened and the book was opened. The book is the Lamb's Book of Life. It is our responsibility to bring, to be leaders, to be teachers, to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity now. We will have an opportunity in the future to live and to rule and reign with our Lord for eternity. Let's stop the wickedness of this world. Can we completely bring peace to the world? No. We know that that'll never take place until our Lord comes. But it's our responsibility to give out the gospel, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God the Father send the Son down here to die on the cross? Oh, to save us from our sin. The scripture tells us in Ephesians, it's for Christ's sake. That's the reason God the Father did it. For Christ's sake. Not for you, not for me, but for Christ's sake. Because you see, God the Father, through the Son, brought the Son a bride. That's you and me. Spotless. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, we do everything for me. Everything is for me. Everything should be for Christ's sake. Not for my sake, but for Christ's sake. And God the Father sent his Son down here for Christ's sake to gather a bride that will be in his presence in New Jerusalem in this 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 mile area. The church will rule and reign through eternity with our God. Keep in mind each day when you wake up in the morning, why am I alive? Why am I born again? It's not for my sake. It's not for your sake. It's for Christ's sake. Look that up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 32. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, God redeemed you and me so that his Son would have a bride, spotless and holy. That's you and me. None of this, the lies, the abomination, all that is gone. Gone. What a wonderful day that will be. What a glorious day. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've called upon him to forgive you of your sin. If you have not, please do it today. And then begin to live for Christ. because you're saved for Christ's sake. That's why you're saved, for Christ's sake. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today for your strength, for your power, and for your wisdom. As we continue to look at New Jerusalem and the new earth, everything that's made new, we see the place where the Israel will live, we see where the nations will live, and we see where we will live in New Jerusalem with you. We sure don't deserve such a place of honor, but you have chosen us, and we need to thank you and praise you for it. Please touch every heart today, Father. Show them if they're lost, that they need a Savior. And if they're saved, please, dear Lord, show them the need to grow, how to learn and grow and study your word and know your truth. Be prepared, please, Father. I thank you for this glorious day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.